God. I know for some of us, we are in the midst of maybe a season, a situation, or a circumstance, Father, where we need that breakthrough miracle. And so, Lord God, right now, in the midst of that moment, Father, Thy will be done. Father, Thy will be done in every situation, in every circumstance, in every place where we find ourselves, where we feel beaten, Father, where we feel like the storm waters are rising, where we feel the heat of the flames of the fire, Lord God, we declare through Jesus victory in Your name. Father, we declare victory over that situation, victory over that circumstance, victory over that diagnosis, victory over that prodigal child, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, deliver us, deliver them, Father. Victory in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray over these next few moments, Lord God, that You would speak in a powerful and a mighty way. That, Lord, You would help us to tune in to You, Father, to hear the truth of Your word. And that, Father, You would give us the courage to follow where You lead. Because, Father, You are a God who is on the move. You are a God who is calling sinners to repentance. You are a God who's calling the church to rise up and to stand for truth and to be people of hope and love and compassion in a world that so desperately needs it. Lord God, today we pray, Thy will be done in us and through us for Your glory and for Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, good morning. All right, seven of you had an espresso. Good morning. Listen, I am so excited to be here with you today. My name is Pastor Paul, and I am the lead pastor here at Cross Point. It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you. From some of you that you just got here thinking it was the first service, it is the second service, but that's all right. Second service folks, welcome to first service folks. You guys get together. We're one church in three services. On Easter, we'll be one church in four services. It's cool. Listen, whatever we got to do to reach people for Jesus, that's why we're here. And listen, I'm excited because today we are launching a brand new series on the Holy Spirit. And I want to throw out this quick disclaimer. In today's message, and over the next few weeks in the series, I probably won't cover everything there is on the Holy Spirit. But we're going to try our best to give us an understanding of the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and how He works in us and through us. And a good understanding this morning of the triune nature, the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to do the very best that I can with the smartest, wisest words I have available. And hopefully with the power of God and His Holy Spirit, we will walk out of here today with a greater understanding of who God is and how He works in our lives. And so we're going to dive in this morning and start with some scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 14, if you guys have your Bibles. Listen to what it says. It says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." It's one of the passages in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's ending his second letter to him, and he just lays out, he says, man, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And he specifically names each one of the Godhead there. And he uses that last phrase, right, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a word we don't use a lot in our day and age, right? Fellowship really means what we would be comfortable with is this idea of saying, like, hanging out with, right? It would be the equivalent of saying, I hung out with, I spent time, I was with. And so, like, you know, if we were to do it in old days, you know, I had a fellowship at my house the other day. We had the privilege of cooking up some of the finest meats from all the land, and we had a hootenanny of a time. That's fellowship, but in our language, you'd be like, yeah, I hung out with some buddies, we barbecued, it was great. We spent time in connection and relationship with one another. And so the scripture is telling us that the Holy Spirit spends time in connection and relationship with us, and we're going to unpack that a little bit more. But before we jump in, let's pray today, and let's specifically ask God to help us have some understanding of this divine ministry mystery. And I know some of you are like, Pastor Paul, you just prayed. Yeah, we're going to need some more prayer, though, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So if you guys will join me, let's bow our heads and pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, help us today to understand you, your character, your nature, and your divine being. Give us wisdom beyond what we possess, and to comprehend and to know you as you truly are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And as we unpack the Holy Spirit this morning, I would like to try to use an illustration that might help. And so over here on stage with me, I have a lamp, and I have a light bulb, and I have a power cord. And so I'd like to say the lamp is me. Hey, how you doing, right? It's a good-looking lamp. No, I'm just kidding. Listen. So the lamp is me, and let's say the bulb illustrates my relationship with God. Now, what causes my relationship to illuminate? Well, that would be the power of God in my life, the Holy Spirit. You see, and without the Holy Spirit, without a relationship with God in my life, I'm dead. I'm worthless, right? I don't have anything to offer. But when I have the power of God at work in my life, man, I can illuminate the darkness. I now have value. I can make my way around. I can see things. Everyone else is blessed and benefited as the electricity is flowing and going. In other words, as the Holy Spirit is at work in my life. And so this simple illustration, it kind of demonstrates the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The Holy Spirit brings the power of God into our lives to illuminate our relationship with God, to transform us and change us, and to allow us to be a blessing to those around us as we become more like God. Now, how does that happen? I'm going to turn that off just so we all don't have a cataract in our eyes for the rest of the service, right? But how does that happen? How does that work? Why does it happen? Well, let's go back to the very beginning, to where we first see this understanding of the Trinity, of the triune nature of God. See, the Trinity means this: God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this understanding of the Trinity, most of us would say, hey, well, I'm pretty familiar with God the Father, right? I understand and I relate to and I know God the Father as the Creator, the Supreme Being, maker of heaven and earth. And then if you've spent time growing up or you're a part of an evangelical Christian church, right, you understand God the Son, Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, God in flesh who lived, died on the cross, and rose again. But when we get to the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, some of us, all of a sudden, what we were really sure on, get a little bit fuzzy on. Right? In fact, some of you grew up, and when we talked about God the Holy Spirit, you thought of him as the Holy Ghost. Right? Any old school folks out there, right? You remember the Holy Ghost. But then we realized, well, that scares children. Right? So we refer to him as the Holy Spirit. And he was the comforter. He was the advocate. Or maybe you grew up in a tradition where when you talked about the Spirit of God, you think of tongues or gifts or prophecy, some manifestations of the Holy Spirit of God. And so as we're coming here today, we want to kind of have a correct and accurate understanding of the Holy Spirit and how he works and relates in our life. See, the understanding of the Holy Spirit, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around this, right? But it's true, and it's affirmed in Scripture. It's talked about as early as the beginnings of the church, that this doctrine is essential for us to understand, that it's God in three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But man, my finite brain has a hard time understanding an infinite God. And I don't know if you guys are tracking or you're like, yeah, I'm just as confused as you, Pastor Paul. Excellent, then welcome. Because sometimes, man, how do I as a human understand the character and the nature of God himself? And then how do I understand this God who self-identifies as three separate, distinct, yet totally the same and apart being? So the easiest way that I think I could explain it this morning is in terms of the manifestations and responsibilities of each of the members of the Trinity. And here's the first one. The Father is the ultimate source of all things. God the Father, the ultimate source of all things. The Son is the agent through whom the Father does all things. And the Spirit is the means by whom the Father does all things. Clear as mud now, right? So let's go back to what I said was the beginning. If you guys have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. I literally mean the beginning, right? The Bible, made up of the Old Testament and the New Testament, first book of the Old Testament is Genesis chapter 1, first chapter of Genesis, first book of the Bible. So basically, if you just have your Bibles, turn to like page 1, okay? And listen to what God has to say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. The words are going to be up here on the screen behind me, and we have a stack of free Bibles in the back. That's our gift to you today. But let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea." Dude, God ordained fishing right there, fellas. Straight up, rule over the fish of the sea. So listen, like, if y'all got a boat, call it Pastor Paul. Let's go out, okay? But just, I'll let you in. I don't like fishing. I like catching. Way bigger fan of catching. But anyway, I digress. It says, so rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals. Oh, fishing and hunting in one Bible verse. All of your redneck dreams come true in the Word of God. Love this. And over all the creatures that move along the ground. Now, we can get really caught up, and most of us have read that verse 1,000 times, and we're like, yeah, God created mankind, and we're supposed to rule over everything, and we're dominating, and we're fishing, and we're hunting, and we're having. But did you catch the first part of that? God said, let us make man in our image. Our, the word our, already infers and communicates a plurality. In the very beginning, God was already trying to clue us in that God exists in this triune nature, this Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He says, let us make man in our image. God is already communicating his character, his nature, all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the one that we looked at to kick off our teaching today, he says that we have fellowship with him. With this third person of the Trinity, you and I have relationship, connection with this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says it this way. So let's flip over there real quick. In John chapter 14, verse 15 and following, listen to what Jesus says. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. Well, we could spend a whole day talking about that one. If you love me, keep my commands, but I got to go back to the Holy Spirit. So let's keep going, all right? And verse 6, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So just think about this. Here's Jesus, and he's talking to the disciples, and he says, listen, I, Jesus, the Son of God, I'm going to ask the Father of God to send you the Spirit of God. And he's laying out here again the manifestations and the responsibilities of the Godhead. He says, now the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And as we're going to unpack this a little bit today and more in the weeks to follow, but for this week, here's some simple truth that I want us to understand about the God that we refer to as the Holy Spirit. Because God the Father and God the Son, we're pretty good on. But God the Holy Spirit, the knowledge of his purpose and his presence. See, the Holy Spirit of God, he dwells within us. Well, those of us who've put our faith in Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit is the gift of God for those who believe in God. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That when I put my faith in God, right, and I am then connected to him, that the Holy Spirit indwells me. When I surrender my life to God and accept Jesus, God puts a deposit on me. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with a deposit, right? But a deposit is when you want to buy something, but you don't have everything you need at this moment, or you can't take possession of that thing that you're buying, so you put a deposit on this thing, and you're like, hey, I'm going to give you some money so that you hold this for me, and you don't sell it to somebody else. Right? You guys ever done that? You ever put a deposit down on something? Right? I'm putting a deposit on this, and what I want you to do is I want you to hold it for me. I'll be back. And you know, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is. It's God's deposit on you and I that Jesus said, and I'm coming back for you. You are mine. And I don't want anyone else or anything else to get you. So I'm going to put a deposit on you. In fact, I'm going to put a deposit in you. And that deposit is the Holy Spirit. He will be with you and he will be in you. When you turn and you give your life to God, when you accept his salvation through Christ, God's response is to put the Holy Spirit in us as the deposit that he's coming back for us one day. And while he's away, while Jesus has ascended into heaven and we're waiting for the second coming and he's going to come back, the Holy Spirit is not only just a deposit guaranteeing us he's coming back for us, but the Holy Spirit begins to bring power to illuminate, change, and transform us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit begins to work in us in a way that helps illuminate the areas in my life that might be out of alignment with the character and nature of God. To illuminate the areas of my thinking or my speaking or my lifestyle that might still be in darkness and need God's light to help me find the way to truth. The Holy Spirit is the indwelling of the presence of God to be with me always. And that he's never going to leave me. But without my faith in Christ, then I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit with me. And I am still in darkness. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're the lamp, but you got no bulb burning bright. I don't know if, man, you're the lamp with God, but you keep doing this. Sundays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, I don't know where you're at. But I know where God wants you to be. plugged in and on, so that he can do a great work in you, so that he can do a great work through you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so today, where are you? In the sincerity in this moment, right now. Do you have a relationship with God because of your faith in Jesus, and God has placed his deposit in you, the Holy Spirit? Or are you still unplugged? I don't know, but I know you know. And I know when you put your head on your pillow at night, you either have peace because you have the presence of God assuring you of your salvation, or you have an uncertainty that you have no idea where you stand before God. And I know the God that we serve wants every man, woman, and child on this planet to have peace. Peace that transcends all understanding. Peace that comes from a vibrant, real relationship with him through Christ Jesus. I know that God loves you. I know that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And I also know that sin gets in the way of God's best. And that on our own, you and I can't do anything to get rid of that sin. But through Christ, he took care of that debt, and he paid it once and for all. And he rose again in victory. And when he ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit down. For all who profess faith in Christ will then be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and God's power to live out this new life in Christ until he calls us home. And so maybe today, just through the simple illustration and the beginnings of our teaching on the Holy Spirit, maybe the Holy Spirit of God has been speaking to you. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you to him right now. And so I'm going to ask, is today the day that you need to surrender your life to Christ? If so, then do it. Our first next step as we wrap up our teaching today is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is a free gift of God. God doesn't force it upon us, but he invites us and says, if you want what I have to offer, if you want life and forgiveness, freedom and hope, if you want all that I have, surrender and accept me today. And the Bible says that we do that through a confession with our mouth and belief in our heart. We do it through prayer, a prayer of salvation and surrender and repentance. And so here's what I'm asking. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking around right now, no distractions. In the sincerity of this moment, if the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you to him, then you cry out and you invite him to be your Lord and your Savior, acknowledging that Christ came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and rose again in victory to settle our sin debt with God. And you may not know the right words to say, so you can pray with me, and I will lead you in that prayer of salvation. Let's pray together right now. Dear Jesus, here I am, and I surrender my life to you. All that I was, all that I am, all that I will ever be. And God, I don't have all of this figured out yet, but I know undeniably right now you are calling me home to you into a real, vibrant relationship through the power of Jesus, death on the cross, and resurrection. That he paid it all for me. And so, Father, now upon this confession of faith, fill me with the fullness of your Holy Spirit to be with me and to be in me, to be my advocate, my comfort, my teacher, and my guide, to be the deposit on my soul until you call me home or come back for me. And Father, I pray all of this in the powerful and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, we want to come alongside you as your church family and help you on your faith journey. Would you pull out that Connect card that Skylar talked about earlier in the service and fill out the information and check off that next step and then drop it in one of the offering boxes on your way out today? Because we want to just help you continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And if you already have a relationship with Christ, the second next step says this, that I will ask the Holy Spirit too. What's the area in your life you need the Holy Spirit to illuminate? What's the area that the Holy Spirit of God is saying, hey, this area, you're still living in darkness even though you have the power of God at work. You're still living as a slave to this sin even though Jesus has set you free. You're still acting like before you had the power of God in you to overcome that temptation, to break that addiction, to get free from the stuff that God has set you free. And what is the area today that the Holy Spirit is just illuminating from the inside out? Saying, let's deal with this once and for all. Let's let the power of God work in us and through us and set us free. What's that next step? Go ahead and write it down. Our third next step says, I will invite. And then there's two blanks to Easter services. And on the seats when you sat down, there were some invite cards. There was an envelope with some invite cards, and it's either on the seat next to you or just look underneath you. It was on your seat. But there's just two invite cards, and as Skylar had talked about earlier, man, Easter is one of those days where the whole world just seems to be a little bit more open and a little bit more receptive to hearing or learning about Jesus. And here at Crosspoint, we want to give you a simple tool to help you invite the people in your life who might still not know Jesus, who might still be in darkness, to just hear about the good news of Jesus. Maybe you've got some family here in town, maybe some friends, maybe a neighbor across the street, a coworker across the cubicles, a classmate or a teammate. And I want to encourage you, would you take those invite cards? Would you say, hey, would you join me if you're free on Easter Sunday at one of my church's services? I would love if you could come with me. And we're going to be here. Not only are we going to be here at 8:30, 10, and 11:30, we added a 1 o'clock service just because we don't want to have to turn anybody away. We don't want anybody to miss out on an opportunity to respond to Jesus. And you may say, well, Pastor Paul, I'm a little bit scared or intimidated to do that. I understand that. That's why we're just asking you to invite him to the service. You don't have to explain the Trinity and the Holy Spirit to him. I got you covered. You just invite him and we'll share the good news of Jesus. And we only gave you two invite cards because we didn't want to have 47 services on Easter yet. But as long as God gives us the privilege and the opportunity to tell men, women, and children in Hernando County and beyond about Jesus, we'll have as many services as we need. And God has placed you right where you are so that you might be that vessel that invites somebody. Listen, one invite can change their life forever because it changed yours. Somebody invited you to that Sunday service, to that youth group, to that summer camp. Somebody invited you and you found Jesus. Would you invite somebody else? It'd be our honor and privilege to share the good news of Jesus with them on Easter Sunday at one of those services. And then lastly, memorize 2 Corinthians 13:14. And that was our verse of scripture that we started with today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the grace, I love this, because that's what Jesus embodied. He was the grace of God poured out on the cross for you and I. May the love of God, our Heavenly Father who created us out of love, genuine, sincere love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the daily relationship and walk with God be with all of you. May we be marked as a people who walk with God by the power of His Holy Spirit, the grace poured out through Jesus because of the love the Father has for us. Listen, it's been an honor and a privilege to share this message with you today. And if you're new here, I'd love to meet you after the service in our first-time guest lounge. The band's going to come up in a few moments, and they're going to take us back through that new song that they taught us earlier. And that's just an opportunity for us to continue to respond and worship to God, to continue what God is doing. And I want to encourage you. Listen, we got plenty of time. We finished just a little ahead of schedule today. Monday will still be there when you walk out those doors. But maybe in these next few moments, God still wants to encourage you and speak to you about where you're at and the working of the Holy Spirit in you and through you. If you need somebody to pray with, our prayer and care team will be available at the ends of the stage after the service. And we just want you to know, man, God's Holy Spirit is the deposit in us, working in us and through us, so that as we walk into a world stuck in darkness, we shine bright as the children of God. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for today. We thank you for this time, Lord God, that we have to worship you. And that, Lord God, as we have heard your truth, and as you have spoken, Lord God, even through what might be this complex understanding of your character and your nature as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, equal, eternal, yet one in the same. Father, even when there are times where I may not understand you or understand what you are doing in my life or the areas where I find my life at, I know that you are the God who never gives up. You are the God who never quits. You are the God who loves me. You died for me. And that you are the God who put a deposit in me of your Spirit to change and transform me, to heal me and set me free, to illuminate the areas in my life so that my life will illuminate to others your goodness and your grace. So, Father, today, I pray you give us the courage and the strength to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. And may we go forward in your name and bring glory and honor to you. For you are good and you are God, and we are your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.